Sunday morning.
Good morning. Just testing. Okay, we had a long day yesterday in a room that actually apparently had bad air. I've never heard that phrase before. I've learnt this new phrase in Sweden. I didn't realise you could assess a room and say it was bad air. I learnt this from Ricard. Is this a familiar idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So I learnt something very important. This room has good air. So hopefully our minds and our... we'll be able to take more in because there's good air. So it was in a room with no windows, no air for a whole day. So I'm taking in a lot of content. So before we take in any more content, at our tables or chairs, maybe some of you will be in twos and threes today. Some of you will be in threes and fours. What were the top 10 things that stuck with you from yesterday? Well, from this weekend so far. Top 10 things, okay? And then we'll share back in about 5 minutes. Okay, it's 10:02, so let's stop and do the 10:02 prayer. So at your tables, you can pray for workers and then continue what you were discussing.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll give about 2 more minutes, and we're looking for the 10 main things that stuck out from yesterday and from this weekend so far. Okay, so if you have one person ready for your team to report back, but before we go further, I'll give you another 1 minute to select your top three. So 1 minute. Okay, so the leader of your team or facilitator of your team, can you report back your top three? If you hear somebody else from another team say one of your top three, then cross it off and go to another one on your list so that we're not repeating. Yeah, so if you hear another team say one of your top three, select another one. Okay, let's start with this table at the back and we'll go around this way. You've got the easiest job, because you're first.
In community. It must be done in community.
Okay, this process is good when it's done in community. Yeah. Next point. Yes, yeah, so we're looking for people of peace who have an oikos, who will invite us into their oikos, their community. And if we find people who don't have that, they are not people of peace necessarily, but we can invite them into our oikos. Last point.
We were talking about how it's a mess, the whole thing, and you have to live with that, that as you work with people, it smells sometimes, right? And you just learn to live with that, because where the in the Old Testament verses where the ox isn't, the barn is clean, but there's nothing that's done in the field.
Yeah, if you want a clean stable, don't have any ox in it. But if you want to work fields, you need an ox, and an ox makes mess. So embrace the idea that this work will be messy. The ship is safest in harbour, but that's not what ships were made for. But this team over here, your top three.
Yeah, that it's quite simple.
Yes.
It's not complicated.
Yeah.
The method.
The practices are simple. Yeah.
And also that it's practical. Very practical.
Yeah, very practical. Find the man or woman of peace. Oh, by the way, that's why we use the phrase person of peace. In scripture, it might say man of peace, but some of the men of peace were women of peace in the book of Acts. So that's where the phrase person of peace comes from.
Yeah.
And the last part?
That was it.
Sorry, I didn't hear the second part.
Simple, practical, and finding the man of peace.
Yes. Great. Next team. Focus on building the kingdom, not just our church,
yeah.
And focus on making disciples, not only serving people.
And then the third was that the whole thing has been very practical and challenging. We have to do something about it.
The whole thing's been practical and challenging. Okay, great. Let's start with this team now. Parable of the soil, four soils and the seed, and sower.
And then with like these four questions, it was very, we know exactly,
yes. How to approach people, and that they from the people speak, know what we're after. Yes, approaching people from the beginning with questions. Would you like to know more? Who else is interested? Where can we meet? What time? Okay. What's the difference between pioneer, person of peace? Are they the same person? Another phrase would be outside leader, inside leader. So the person of peace in the early days will be the person, the leader in the group. So if you have a group, who is the one who is the others are looking towards to bring the influence or to moderate or to facilitate? The person of peace is that person. He is the person, she is the person who already knows the people in the group, who is the one that is opening up their house or their circle. And they will stay with the people, usually. But the pioneers, the outside leader, they are only coming in for a short space of time. And they are not taking up the leadership in that group. That's the job of the inside leader. The pioneer will eventually move on and then just coach or disciple the inside leader. Is that clear? Next team.
Just one left because it's already said there. What's the difference in these things and being in that?
Yes. We have a level 2 game called Fivefold Thinking, which is where we look at the five ministries in Ephesians, the five times. One, two. Okay. Let me just lift it up a little bit, actually. One, one. That's better. Yeah, great. Fivefold thinking. Ephesians 4:11 says that Jesus sends apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to the body of Christ. Now, the thing is that those people operate differently, they think differently, and they have different values and different things that they think are the most important thing in the world for the church. And it's that's fine, and all are needed. But sometimes we can train ourselves in the body of Christ, because it says that these gifts are given to equip and strengthen all of the saints to do the work. So we could ask the question, this is how we play the game. If we pose a problem, the problem is... we're not reaching enough people, or we're not making enough disciples, or there's disunity in our church, or any of those kind of questions. We pose a problem and state it as a question. And then we say, how would we solve this problem from an evangelistic mindset? How would we solve this from a prophetic mindset? So that we're getting a balanced view, not just the one view. And the other thing is that each one of those five gifts can start a missional community or a simple church or a discipling group. Not just one of them, not just the apostles, not just the evangelists or the shepherds. Every one of those five can do this work, but they will do it in a different way. The evangelists may do it more from starting with completely from scratch with new people. The shepherds might be more with people who are Christians first, or people who are de-churched, or people who are in need, gathering people like that. The prophets will do it maybe from more of a prayer and worship slant to begin the groups, or maybe from a social justice slant. So different ones of the five gifts will start differently. And everyone can start these communities in different ways. But even more important than that, before any of us are apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers, we're first called to be disciples and make disciples. So every one of us can do this work. Yeah. On the spectrum, what if you're neither person of peace pioneer? On the spectrum of the fivefold ministries, usually apostles, prophets are more pioneering, sometimes evangelists as well. Shepherds, teachers are more developers, people of peace type people. So the pioneer person of peace is just a simple starting point to show the difference when you are starting a community. Are you going to be the one that gathers people? Are you going to be the one that finds people? But on the spectrum, most people will fall more into the pioneering or more into the developmental mode. And sometimes we could be different things at different times. So another way of asking the question may be, what if I'm not somebody who wants to find a person of peace, and what if I'm not somebody who wants to gather anybody? Okay, well, if that's the case, then the question is, how can I use my gifts that God has given me in the community that somebody else has gathered to use that towards making disciples as a community? Or how can I use my gifts when other people are going to find people of peace to help that process? This team?
We really like the systematic approach about the kingdom and how it spreads, like this one. We like the whole team. And also the way to talk about the person of peace and the pioneer relationship. And we also like your attitude that there is not like one certain form that has to be done, and also that all traditional churches are crap. It's not like that, but it's a way of thinking as approach. It's a good approach that you think you're good when edifying and thinking about it.
Yes. So like the kingdom passages, and that there's not just one way or approach of seeing these communities formed, and also that we're not saying the traditional churches are all crap. I personally don't have any problem with traditional churches or even networks of traditional churches, denominations, or simple churches. I like them all if they are hearing and obeying Jesus and making disciples and forming a movement. In my passion is to ask the question, what is it going to take to catalyse kingdom movements in Europe in the next 15 years? That's my passion. And through the multiplication of disciples, leaders, churches, networks, what's that going to take to do that? And to be honest, we have a very small harvest force, so all hands on deck. Whether we're in traditional churches, denominations, simple churches, all hands on deck. Because time is short for Europe. Time is big in the sense that we have a window of opportunity, but time is short because that window will close at some point. Okay, next table. Where are we? Over here? No, we did. Over here? Yes, there are people of peace around us. As I said, one thing that we can do is spy the land in our cities and towns and ask one simple question. Where is a group? Go down the town, look through the restaurant windows, look through the pub windows, look through the art centre windows, look through the school rooms. Where is there a group? If there is a group, there is a person who is the influencer in that group. And either they will be open to you or not. Next one.
Yeah, second one is this urgency. You have to do something and we have to do it now. It might be wrong, but we have to do something. It's not just a theory.
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency. A ship is easier to steer when it's out of the harbour than it is stuck in the same place. Paul sometimes went out because he already knew the general call of God, which was to be an apostle to the Gentiles, but he went in the wrong direction. And then God steered him in another direction.
And the third was prayer. Not just prayer, but prayer focused on mission.
Yeah.
So, pioneering to find disciples and disciples.
Yeah. Prayer focused on mission. So again, this answers the question earlier. What if you're not somebody who goes and finds people of peace? What if you're not somebody who gathers people together? Then there's other giftings needed to see the movement move forward. Prayer is one of them. Okay, next team. Unity of the spirit, not unity of the organizations. Now, if there is a leader of an organization and another leader of an organization and another leader of an organization and they have unity of the spirit together, then obviously they could potentially influence the people and situations in the organization. But that's very different to just saying, let's bring everybody together we can find who's Christian, put them all in a room and expect unity will happen just by being together. Next team. Oh, sorry.
Does that mean to say that after we talk, it's not so good to take people in too much of the group because attract the church? But we think that it's good to have that gift and then a woman of peace is to invite people.
Yeah, the person of peace is acting like an attractional person because they have already gathered people or they are influencing people towards themselves. So that's the whole thing of some of us are called to gather people. Great. Next team.
I like that one. Most, not the questions, but
Yes, it's good. A good tool is say, mean, do, share. And the focus on prayer. This is a good thing, actually. When I get home, I'm going to try and do a discovery based on scriptures that are to do with when the mission of God moved forward in the book of Acts, what preceded it in terms of direction from God. And we'll add that into this process, I think. That would be better under the pray section. This team.
We also talked about the teaching about the kingdom of God. The intentionality, it cannot happen by itself, so we think that's important. And then we talked about the overall, the whole view of everything, the whole package is important.
Yeah, the intentionality and focus, it doesn't just happen by itself. We are co-laborers with Christ. And the bigger picture focus of the movement. Great. Okay, so let's put on the dubstep and we can just dance for the rest of the time then. Okay, maybe not. What are still the main questions or challenges that you have that you would like to explore today? We discuss that in your twos and teams and then we'll share back in 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, so if you begin to choose your top questions, top three questions, and prepare to share one per team, one main question or challenge, and if somebody else says it, then you can use the next one. Okay, let's begin on this side and go around. So we're looking for just one main question or challenge that you would like to explore today. And I'm going to make notes. Okay, from this team over here. Great. So the question is, we're focusing at a minute about the person of peace or the gatherings, but what happens in the life between the gatherings? We're going to cover that in the plant section. Okay, this team at the back. So this is a statement more than a question. Okay, so the statement is, how do we, the question is, how do we move from quantity to quality? But my answer would be, let's not do that. My answer would be, let's focus on both quantity and quality. But anyway, this team.
One question is, how is it important to teach Christian values to this group or Christian speech, or should we just trust the Holy Spirit and myself?
Yeah, should we just trust the Holy Spirit that those people will learn Christian values, or do we need to teach Christian values to the new people? We'll look at that slightly, but we don't want to do anything that's going to hinder the movement of God in people's lives. So if our teaching becomes a dependency on us for answers instead of God and them growing in their communities, then we need to lessen it. But if we sense God speaking to us and saying, the gifts that I've given to you, I want you to pass on to these people, and it's going to be helpful for them to move forward, then obviously you do that. This team. Yeah.
And also some more stories maybe about what not to do. It's easy these kind of weekends that you hear the highlights and then you go home and do it and it doesn't work. And you're like, okay, what am I doing wrong? It always works with Peter. So
it never works with Peter.
What you've learned from when it's failed, like, okay, what did we do wrong? Like the story yesterday.
Yeah. This is one thing that we did wrong, is go to the people of peace, pour into them as like their poor, helpless souls, and cause a dependency on the workers, that they just were dependent. So that's one thing. It's why I've highlighted that. But yeah, we'll share more. This team at the back. Oh, did you have another one? Oh, sorry. This team at the back. Yeah. You all have one of those Pioneer Week timetables. That's one tool that you can use that we'll look at later on today in your worksheets. There's a blue one called Pioneer Week. But it's just basically looking at putting into that timetable what are the things that we are already doing in our life that God has told us to do, like with our family, our workplace, and then seeing how much time is left. And then asking the question, what am I going to begin to do from what we've learnt this weekend? This team?
We had a question about how much influence is good to bring into the peace in the first from outside. It's quite connected to the question about dependency and passing forward.
Yes, we're going to be looking at a lot of this in the plant section today. But one of the questions is, what do we plant into the new people when we meet them? That's a way that we would phrase the questions that are being asked. What do we say to the people? What do we plant? What do we input? And what don't we plant? And that's what we're going to be looking at. We've already mentioned that we plant the seed of the word, not our seed substitutes. And we've already looked at some basic practices that we plant into the group, like reading the scripture and asking four questions. This team. Yeah, so once we found the person of peace, or we've been a person of peace and gathered people, and we began to plant the gospel of the kingdom, starting maybe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, possibly using seven signs of John or seven stories of hope, something like this, what happens next? Okay, we're going to look at that in the plant section next. This team. Say it again. Oh, so you meet the people, and but they don't change. Yeah. So this comes down to what we're planting into the groups in the first place, and also seeing their response. As we looked at yesterday, people completely don't want to grow as disciples, and that's up to them. And either you have a group where half do and half don't, or you pray and ask God, how long should you invest your time? But we're also not only doing in the group the stories of Jesus. We're going to be planting other things as we go along, which we'll talk about today. This team? Yes, so how do we implement these ideas, practices, principles into traditional churches? How do we move beyond narrow niche churches where it's just one type of people or it's just friendship groups? Because an attractional church moves beyond that. And what if the people in the group don't move forward as the previous one? This team? What's the DNA of being a disciple? What is the content you give to people to become a disciple? Okay, yeah. So we'll look at these things with the person of peace and also with the, in the plant section. So we'll move... A lot of the questions actually are related to the plant section, so that works out quite well. So we'll move into that now. Have I covered every team? Great. Okay, so at your tables, if you look at Acts 2:42, let's start there. So what are the basic practices that the new believers did when they met together as communities? So if you discuss that in your teams, it shouldn't take very long because it's just one verse to begin with. And then we'll share back. 3,000 people come to Christ, they begin to meet. What do they do when they first meet together? Acts 2:42.
Because they have some really specific
Okay, so let's start, and we'll throw it out like popcorn. So 3,000 people come to Christ in one day, and they know very little, and they start to meet together. What do they do when they meet together? One thing.
Teach.
Does it say teach?
Listening to the teaching of the apostles.
Yep, apostles teaching. Yep, that's one thing. Next one.
Lord's Supper.
Lord's Supper, yeah. Prayer is the third one. Fellowship, four things. So there's four things they did. What spirit did they do those four things in? A spirit of devotion. They committed themselves to these four things. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves to these things. Lord's Supper, what did that look like, do you think?
A meal.
Yeah. So later on in that passage, verse 46, I think it is, it says they shared their meals. We call it bring and share. So not one person had the meal. They didn't kind of have their meals and each sit with their separate meals. They brought and shared. So we say the essence of church is bring and share. And not only with food, but with other things. We'll talk about that later. So they brought and shared food, including the Lord's Supper, was part of a meal. When it says apostles' teaching, what do you think that looked like? What did it look like, and what was the content? I think it was more of a discussion than a monologue, especially if they were following Jesus's practices. Jesus was the teaching. They didn't have Paul's writings. Jesus was the teaching. Now, what did Jesus tell them that they were to teach people?
To obey the commandments.
To obey the commandments.
Obey the instructions.
Obey all of Jesus's instructions. So that was what the apostles were training the people to do that had just come to Christ. Which is why we've been focusing on how do we help people to hear and obey the messages of Jesus and the stories of Jesus in the Gospels. Because that's what we're doing, apostles' teaching. Now, when it said the word apostles, what do you think that meant? It said apostles' teaching. What's an apostle? What did they mean by apostles, do you think, when they said that?
Someone who is sent out.
Yeah. So, sent ones teaching. Yeah. So, this is why our focus is on missional teaching. Sent ones teaching. So, these were apostles that were called to be sent out. What did Jesus tell them in Acts 1:8? Do you know? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. So the apostles are now teaching the things that Jesus commanded them. So the focus of their... So what spirit did they do it in? Spirit of devotion and practice in these things that Jesus said. And what was the aim? The aim was to fulfill Jesus' instructions to them, which was this message will be preached throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. So the question is, when we are meeting with our groups, is this the level of devotion to these practices, and is the focus on the commands of Jesus, and is the focus on the goal of multiplication movements? Because this is the important thing. What they planted in the beginning got the result of the spread of the gospel throughout Jerusalem. However, the apostles were slow, and it took persecution to actually scatter them out further into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hopefully that won't happen with us. Hopefully we won't wait till persecution, but we'll rely on the prophetic words of God to actually motivate us. Okay, so what does it mean by prayer, do you think? So let's think about it this way. There was 120 people in the upper room, so they were practicing like a house of prayer. And there was only 12 apostles. But now there's 3,000 people meeting in every house. So the 12 apostles couldn't be in every one of those houses, could they, at the same time? So how did all these people know what to do? So when it says the apostles' teaching, there must have been a way of spreading the apostles' teaching that went beyond the apostles. Because the 12 couldn't be in all of these houses at the same time. So there had to be some basic foundational practices laid that didn't depend on the apostles being in the room. Either that or the 120 somehow was gathering. So if each of the 120 gathered 10 people, how much would that be? So maybe each of the 120 were gathering 20 or 25 maybe. It could have been that way. But still, the 120 would have needed to have known some basic practices to do when 3,000 people suddenly come into the kingdom. A question, if 3,000 people suddenly came into the kingdom today, would we know how to instruct them to gather without us being present? So, what do we plant in the groups? Basic practices that everybody can do. Yeah, we'll come to that. That's not in Acts 2:42. We'll come to that in a minute. So we're looking at some basic practices first that are planted in the oikos space. We'll deal with temple later. So in the oikos space, the household space, the basic things that they began to do was that they ate together. They prayed together. They listened to the apostles' teaching, possibly in the temple, but that then meant that in the temple they were given basic instructions and practices that they could do from house to house without the apostles being present in all of the groups. So there has to be some basic things that are given. It's a bit like now we're all in this room. We're given some basic practices that can then be distributed into small discipling groups. Temple forecourt, yeah. We know already that there is a role for gathered church and there's a role for scattered church. We know that there's a role for training and there's a role for multiplication spread. So, for example, this setting now is not a small oikos. This is a different environment. We're not all sat around a table bringing and sharing. There's an element of equipping. So there's a need for these kind of things. In the temple structure, one of the things that they were doing, the apostles were doing, was actually preaching to the crowds. So it was more like public evangelism. And also, in some cases, you could also say at some points there was public worship. But in the temple structure, that only lasted until the temple was destroyed, which was AD 70 or something like that. So there was no longer any temple in Jerusalem. Other structures we can talk about with the gathered church is, for example, in Ephesus, where Paul met in a rented lecture hall and spoke every day for 4 hours or something like that. But it was actually a training environment, like this kind of setting, that was a training to spread the movement throughout Asia. And also it was an evangelism environment where people were getting healed and things like that and then sent out. So there is a role for bigger setting groups, but we're not going to go into that level 2 training in depth today. For those who want to talk more about this kind of how do you look at church in bigger settings in relation to smaller settings, how do you see this DNA in big churches, how do you have gathered and scattered church, all these kind of questions, then speak to Charles, because we might be able to arrange either to have a conversation today or another day on these things. We cover these things in our level 2 training. So let's look at the next passage. Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. So we've looked at the most basic of basic practices that they began to do in the church when they met from house to house. Really basic practices. The 4 practices of bringing and sharing food, including the Lord's Supper, bringing and sharing prayer, bringing and sharing sent teaching, the commands of Christ. Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. And bringing and sharing life. You've actually got them in front of you in the plant section of the templates that you've got. So the question is, what were the basic principles of Jesus that were planted into new groups? What were the basic principles of Jesus that were planted into new groups from Hebrews 6, 1 to 3? Okay, so if you have, if we just call it out from our teams, one thing per group. So we're looking at the whole thing of when we've got a person of peace, or when we've gathered people together, and we've already looked at discovering Jesus, 7 signs of John, or that kind of thing. What would we do next? What are the basic practices we would do in the group? And what is the basic discovery teaching we would bring into the group? So from Hebrews 6, what are some of the basic principles of Christ? Let's do one per team.
Eternal judgment.
Eternal judgment is a basic principle of Christ, it talks about in Hebrews 6. Yeah. Next team. Repentance from dead works, yeah, is another, so that's 2. A third one?
Faith in God.
Faith in God, yeah. 3. Fourth one?
Baptism.
Or some versions would say instructions about baptisms, plural. So that's the 4th thing. 5th thing?
Laying on
of hands is the 5th principle of Christ. And these are basic principles. The 6th one that we haven't mentioned.
Resurrection.
So there's 6 basic principles of Christ that the author is saying, I wish we could go beyond these by now and go on to more things. And not have to keep laying the basic foundations of Christ over and over again. In other words, if we are gathering people who are not Christians or new believers, or even Christians, or we're finding the person of peace, these foundations need to be in the groups so that we can move on from them. So they are the basic foundational level. So the question is, we have new groups of people, what do we first do in the groups? One thing is we practice Acts 2:42 type practices. We learn how to pray together. We learn how to eat together, including the Lord's Supper. We learn how to fellowship together. And we learn how to bring the apostolic teaching. How do we bring the apostolic teaching? By reading the scripture and asking four questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What are we going to do? Who are we going to share it with? So what we have started doing is, for example, after we've done Seven Signs of John, where people, which the purpose of Seven Signs of John is that people would come to believe, we then read stories from the Gospels or the Book of Acts on repentance, faith, baptism. Usually they're all in the same story. I haven't got a list of those scriptures because I haven't done it yet, but you could do one and then send it to us and we can spread it to others. A list of stories that are to do with repentance, faith, baptism from the Gospels and Book of Acts. You can Google it if you want, or you can go through them. I've already mentioned two. One is John the Baptist calling people to repentance and get baptized, and another is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. In fact, if you go into the Person of Peace stories from the Book of Acts, they will all have baptism stories within them. So you can use the Person of Peace stories from the Book of Acts. So you have your group session, either with the Person of Peace in their group or with your group, and you're doing four basic things to begin with. You are eating together, including the Lord's Supper. You are sharing scripture and asking questions. You are praying for each other, and you are sharing life together. And in the context of that, you need to sow a seed, which is the Word of God in the apostolic teaching. First, the seeds are Jesus stories. Then the seeds are these other foundational principles, repentance, faith, baptism stories. Select the Person of Peace stories from the Book of Acts, if you like. Then you share other stories, maybe share some stories of laying on of hands from the Book of Acts stories. And ask the question, what does it say, what does it mean, what are we going to do, who are we going to share it with? In terms of sharing the Lord's Supper, at first we bring and share food. And then as people come to Christ, we might, the meaning of that food would take on more importance. And then we might do it in different ways depending on the culture and their observation of it in the scripture. So for example, if you wanted to go into more detail on the Lord's Supper, then you could read some scriptures. And I would start with stories always in the beginning phases from the Gospels and the Book of Acts of actually how they did it, as opposed to lectures on how they did it from the letters. So because we're beginning with the DNA of how they would have done it in the New Testament. They never started with the letters. If you're talking about new groups, first it's Gospels, then it's Book of Acts, then maybe letters. Because it's in the order of the process of development of the actual churches themselves. Now, if you're Christians, you will probably start in the letters, but that won't tell you what you're going to do with new people. You will be starting at a level that's up there, and the people won't be able to attain to it. So, actually, we need to simplify down to the beginnings again, so that we can start a grassroots army of ordinary people movement. Okay, so Lord's Supper is part of the meal, and you can just read the Book of Acts to see that. Actually, it'd be good even starting with Jesus and the Lord's Supper in the Gospels. You can actually just read that and ask the question, what did they do? What do we need to do about it? So we're starting really laying the foundations again. And actually, all movements start again with Jesus. So even if we think we're mature, we need to go back to the basic first principles and see, what was the Lord's Supper all about? Let's go back to Jesus. So, I mentioned yesterday a story where I shared with a lady in one of the groups. In one of the groups, we planted this story of, in the Revelation, we read the scripture of everybody standing before the throne of God, and that's what does it say, mean, do, share. That was one way that we did resurrection and judgment. I just felt God say to read that. But there's other ways. When you go through the Book of Acts, there's many mentions of Paul's preaching where he talked about the resurrection and judgment to come. It was a basic foundational thing that apostles said when new people were coming to faith. So we're laying this whole idea that there is a resurrection and there is an eternal life. There is an eternity, that what we're doing now is part of that eternity. And it's good to have that in the group. So it's not just a social club. There is a sense of the weightiness and the presence of God, and that there is an eternal focus, and that we will all be judged, and also that there'll be rewards in relation to the things we've been given. Are we invested in those things? So it gives a whole different dimension to the group when we have these things included. So one of the things that we're suggesting is that you lay the basic practices in the group from Acts 2:42, and lay the basic principles by starting with Jesus stories, baptism stories, laying on the pan stories, resurrection and judgment to come stories. And instead of teaching, read the scripture and ask these questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What are we going to do? Who are we going to share it with? Any questions at this point? This is why the question is, what do you do when new people are constantly coming to the group and some people have already had the basics and some people haven't? This is why we really want to be focused on multiplication, not addition. So in the early stages, when we're starting groups, we want to be gathering people together. And we can gather people together through a number of different ways. The person of peace can gather their friends for socials, then begin with the seven signs of John. But within the first 3 or 4 weeks, we really want to be focused on gathering so that there's a full number, as many as people as possible in that oikos. We want to gather to at least 10 to 15 people if possible. So if people come, they might have missed the first sign or second sign of John or first sign or fourth, but they're not coming in like way after that. What happens when new people come? We help them to form a new group straight away. Yes, we'll cover that in the section. How do you stop? How is a church prevented from becoming introvert? We'll look at that. Okay, let's have a break. So let's if you grab some fika, and then we'll start back in 5 minutes, 4:15.